Wall Street might seem satisfied, but how does the debt compromise really add up?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Jeremy Hobson. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Here's how the president sums up the debt ceiling deal.
It will allow us to avoid default and end the crisis that Washington imposed on the rest of America.
At the same time, Mr. Obama concedes this deal punts much of the tough decision-making into next year. So where's Wall Street? They're calling it a relief rally, but analysts aren't sure how long it'll last. The Dow has charged ahead 65 points at this hour, around 0.5%. The Nasdaq and the S&P 500 up by similar margins. European stocks are also higher. We'll get more of Wall Street's take in a moment, but first, where things stand now in Washington. Republican and Democratic lawmakers are expected to vote today on that tentative hike in the debt ceiling. The plan calls for at least $2.4 trillion in spending cuts over the next decade. And while tax revenues are initially off the table, the cuts are coming from all different parts of the federal budget. Marketplace's David Gura joins us now from Washington to dig a bit deeper. Good morning, David.
Hey there, Bob.
So almost $1 trillion in immediate cuts if the deal is approved by Congress today. What's on the chopping block right away?
Well, so the deal aims to save more than $900 billion by capping discretionary spending, and that includes the Pentagon budget, which amounts to about two-thirds of all discretionary spending. I should say we haven't seen all the terms of the deal yet. We've heard from lawmakers who worked on it. We've got bullet points from Congress and from the White House. So there's a lot we don't know yet, but the administration says that in the first round we'd be on track to cut $350 billion from the defense budget over 10 years. And we won't know where those cuts come from until there's a review looking at the military's missions, roles, and capabilities, Bob.
Well, these numbers are so huge, as is the Pentagon's budget. Would $350 billion be a significant cut there?
Well, that's tough to say. This is a smaller cut than what the president called for just a few months ago, and it's hundreds of billions of dollars smaller than what several debt reduction commissions suggested. I talked to Winslow Wheeler. He's with the Center for Defense Information, and he told me we've got this big challenge on our hands. It's how to cut the defense budget, make it smaller, but not make U.S. forces suffer.
We've been squandering money horrendously for a long time, and if we are smart in the way we pick those cuts, we can actually make things better, not worse.
And Bob, as you said, there's a second round of cuts that's coming up. Those have yet to be determined. So depending on what happens, the defense budget could take an even bigger hit.
Our David Gura in Washington, thanks.
Thanks.
Julia Coronado is chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas. She joins us live this morning, as she does every Monday. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning, Bob.
We just outlined how this tentative deal would cut $2.4 trillion from the budget, but the jobs and economic growth data seem to indicate the economy needs help, not cuts. Is this the right time to be making these decisions?
Well, it certainly isn't ideal. What we got on Friday was a disappointing report on GDP, and what we've been seeing is that government is already weighing on growth, starting at the state and local government level, and now it looks like we're going to get a drag on growth from the federal government level. So it's just yet another headwind that the economy is going to have to absorb, and it really is already in pretty shaky shape to start with.
Okay, so it seems Congress isn't going to be helping boost the economy. There is this other entity, though, the Federal Reserve Bank, that has the ability to basically print money, and it's always trying to gauge the economy. Could it step in to provide some balance here?
Well, you know, the Fed is going to be meeting next week, and they've got a sobering backdrop. As you note, the fiscal picture is going to be tightening on the U.S. economy, and the starting point isn't that great. It's not clear that, you know, printing more money would be the silver bullet that the economy needs. It's more of an insurance policy in case things get a lot worse. But I think all options are going to be on the table. The Fed knows that they're the only game in town, so they're going to be looking at what they can do. At a minimum, they're going to keep easy policy around for quite a long time.
Very quickly here, that doesn't sound good. I hate to use the R word, but could we be heading back to a recession?
Well, you know, I don't expect a recession. I do think that we're going to see some numbers improve a bit in the second half, but I do think that the U.S. economy is just dealing with so many structural adjustments in real estate and elsewhere and at the fiscal level that what we're in for is a slow recovery for a while.
Julia Coronado at BNP Paribas, thanks for your insights.
My pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. and by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines.
NBA owners and players head back to the bargaining table today for the first time since owners imposed a lockout a month ago. In case the season is canceled, star players are talking about getting paid to play in other countries. Could that undermine the owners' lockout strategy? Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
A Turkish basketball team has been courting all-stars like Kobe Bryant and Deron Williams. With overseas job offers, elite players are under less economic pressure to cut a deal with team owners. But those are exceptions, says Gabe Feldman, director of Tulane's sports law program.
I think it's the rank and file who are more likely to start feeling the economic pressure, and those players are unlikely to get lucrative deals abroad.
Players aren't the only ones feeling the economic pinch. Some NBA owners say they lose money on games. I asked Feldman, do you buy that?
I think there is some substance that some teams are losing money. I think the number may be overstated, and I think the amount may be overstated.
Owners aren't so worried about players defecting to teams in Europe. They're more concerned that NBA players will follow in the footsteps of the NFL. Pro football players dissolved their union. That allowed a labor court to step in and end that lockout. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Speaking of the business of sports, if you're thinking it couldn't get any more ridiculous than what we've seen in Washington over the past few weeks, consider how things could literally play out if the ratings agencies downgrade Spain's sovereign debt. There's word the world's most expensive soccer player, Ronaldo, could be part of the financial fallout in Spain. Seems the banks that loaned the money so the Real Madrid football club could acquire Ronaldo and another player. That banking group now wants to borrow funds from the European Central Bank, and they're essentially pledging Ronaldo and the other player as collateral. Raising speculation, if things get really bad, the ECB could end up in the position of seizing the players. So even in finance, you can't tell the players without a scorecard. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So, maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad app.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.